This is Melissa, and it is the 18th day of December 2025. And for those of you who are on the holiday seasonal timeline and celebrating Christmas, that's a week away, a week from today. And I don't think I'm doing anything. I think it's just my brother and I, and that's that. So Betty's got her grandson and her great grandson's coming over, and so on the day it's just hanging out here. It's in a way maybe a day like any other day, but I have been the reason why I decided I'm going to sit down and record something really quickly is because I had to run an errand. I had to go down to the post office, and I went to the local health food store, and I don't go in there very much because I don't really find most health food to be healthy. And anyway, and it's expensive, but I went in because I thought that I would offer up a lunch to Betty. I haven't done that in a while, and that would be tomorrow, and they like their health food. So I went in there and I had an encounter with the clerk. I wanted to tell you that story, but before I get there, I'll just briefly tell you about my day. I finished a round of proofreading, and that's coming along on the cutting through books. And I have help. I have other eyeballs on it. So, but I finished my latest pass through it. And I have this kind of pressure with, because I know I am the one who transcribed the Waiting for the Miracle books. And we have been studying that at CTTM Book Club on Telegram since May. And every time I see a typo, I'm like, ugh, I can't stand it. And I just don't want that on these cutting through books. Alan had some in the original, and I'm trying to fix those. And I've explained already, there are some misspellings that were intentional. So it's that fine line there. But anyway, I finished that round, and I had some acorn squash sitting on the kitchen counter that had been there for a few days that I need to bake. And so I baked them this morning. And when I say some, I think there were about six or eight of them. So it's a big batch of acorn squash, and I'm going to make a soup, and I will freeze some of them. And so it was a fairly relaxed day after pushing very hard for the last couple of days to do this latest round of proofreading. Nick and I were going to record something today to finish up That Hideous Strength, but that didn't work out for our scheduling. And so I think we're going to do that next week and close off that novel before the year ends. And oh, and that's what I was doing last night. We were both finishing reading it. So I had a couple more chapters and I finished it and it was good. So that's that. And I got an email from a friend asking me if I wanted to come over tomorrow night and have a movie night at her house. And I have had Christmas and Alan on the mind. And one of the movies that he enjoyed watching at Christmas time, we saw it several times together, was called Joyeux Noël. And it's, so, there are parts of it that are supposedly based on true stories that were reported, the Christmas spirit in the trenches, World War I. And it is a nice movie. And so I told her that I had a copy on a disc somewhere. It was burned, but I thought it would work. But I had to go out in the shed and look around for it. And while I was out there digging around, I got in a kind of nostalgic mood. Sometimes I notice about myself that I don't like to think too much about what day-to-day life is like with Alan. It just because I miss it. I miss him, but I miss the daily routine of we get up and we do this. And so I was listening to a talk of his that would have been before I arrived, but it was also one that would have been recorded when I kind of really already knew I was headed there. And he was run off his feet. And if I do put that one up this weekend, you'll hear it. And he was just telling you what a typical day was like for him. And I think in many ways the workload certainly improved for him with my being there, but it was still, pedal to the metal all day long for both of us. And I keep busy that way here too. But the one thing that I'm not that good about, that Alan was good at, is just stopping and saying, okay, I've done my work now, and we will read a book that's just for enjoyment, or we will watch a movie or listen to music. Those are the kind of things that we did together that I seldom do by myself. But I had been thinking that maybe for Christmas, I don't know, what did they used to call those back in the day? A mixtape. I was thinking maybe I'll do something like a mixtape as part of the Christmas Redux to share music that Alan really enjoyed listening to at this time of the year. Because it's a mixed bag, and it was for Alan too. I was looking again at the Redux that I put up on Sunday. I actually listened to it once again after I played it for you Sunday. Such a good talk from, when was that from? 2006, December 22, 2006. Commerce, Christmas, and Caring. And he was talking about how important it is to remember that this time of year, people are lonely, and just that extra bit of kindness that you show can be helpful. And so, in the one that I am considering upcoming, he was talking about the ways in which people just go through a routine and they just do something to be doing it, but they don't think about why. And again, touching on, what kind of a world would we have if all of us behaved differently, if we took responsibility for our actions, that kind of thing. And I found the movie, I found Joy You Know Well, that I wanted to play for my friend tomorrow night. And it was a burned copy. I haven't tested it to see if it works. But whoever burned it for Alan, if you happen to still be listening, I don't remember who sent it. I should have a mind like that. But they had written a cute little end marker on the disc, a cute little Christmas scene on there. And then they wrote, the title, Joyeux Noël. And then they said, to change the world, you first change yourself. And of course, Alan has said things like that, and I'm sure other people have. And there's probably some, maybe Confucius said it. I don't know. It's been said for a long time. I liked one thing that Alan said, is that the material that we have to work with, the only material that we have to work with, is our own minds, our own selves. And so I'm out in the shed, rooting around in the bins, looking for this, and I'm thinking about where maybe I fall short, where, like lately, you don't want to dredge up the whole past, but lately, where could I do better? What could I do better with? And then I came in, I locked up the shed, came in, took the squash out of the oven, and thought, I better get down to the post office before it closes. And there, next door to the post office, is a so-called health food store. Now, I haven't had Betty over for a meal in a couple of weeks, and I thought that tomorrow I would do that for lunch. And so I they like their so-called health food. I don't go in this store very often because it's very expensive and it's not cheap. But well, they like that, so I'll get a little bit of this stuff, this vegan-ish stuff. And I brought it up to the counter, and the cashier, the young fellow who was working there, and I would place him at about 18, maybe 19, but 18 or 19 years old. Very tall. I don't know how tall he was, but he was well over 6 feet tall, maybe 6 foot 3, something like that. And he rang up the order, and you get your frequent flyer miles. But my brother has his frequent flyer miles there, and I was trying to remember my brother's number so that my purchase could add to that. They're not really frequent, they're your frequent buyer of vegan products. So anyway, I couldn't remember the number, so I gave him the name and he looked it up, and look, here you are. Okay. And he said, "Are you looking forward to Christmas?" And I said, "I'm looking forward to Christmas being over." And I kind of chuckled. And I said, "Oh, it's not so bad. It's just I'm not super into it." And he said, "Yes, I think it's supposed to be, we're supposed to say Merry Stressmas." And I said, "Yeah, that's more like it." And then this young fellow, after he rang up my order and gave me back my change, I paid cash. He started talking about sports. He said that two of his favorite teams were going to be playing on Christmas Day. Now, this is something that I think I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I really don't know anything about sports. I don't follow them. If you're talking about a team or a player, I always feel like I will have no idea if you're talking about basketball or football or baseball. But the truth is not that. The truth is, somehow, subliminally, by osmosis, because my brother follows them, and but I don't, we don't talk about, I don't know, but somehow I know more about sports than I think I do, because I always find when someone starts talking about them that I'm able to go, yeah, and then I pitch in. Like, for instance, he's saying, I said, "Who are your favorite teams?" And he said, "Well, Kansas City, but they're out." And I said, "Oh, I know, they got knocked out of the playoff." And I said, "I can't watch that." And I wasn't going to elaborate. He said, "Because it hurts you too much when they get hurt." And I'm like, "Oh, that's a nice assumption." And I said, "Well, yeah, Mahomes, I mean, that was bad." And I'm like, how do you know who Patrick Mahomes is? How do you know that this is the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs? How do you know that they got knocked out of the playoff last week and he got an injury?" I don't know. I mean, I know Betty watches the Dallas Cowboys, but not much else. And my brother watches them. I don't know, but there you go. So I was able to say that, and that was all it took for him to take off. Now, 20 minutes later, because I was thinking, well, I'll get back and I'll do X, Y, Z, I was still standing. It's a slow day at the health food store, listening to him talk about sports. And he went in from, I forgot who his stand-in team that sent, the Chiefs have been knocked out, and now there's somebody else that he's going to be watching on Christmas Day. And he and his father, and that was kind of a cute thing there. My dad and I. And I thought about, Alan would always say that people, they'll take whatever party father was, you know, he's a liberal or he's a conservative or he's a Democrat or Republican. Chances are, unless the child is in total rebellion, that's what they are too. And the sports teams that the father likes, the son likes. But at any rate, it was about 20 minutes. And the my contribution was really, wow, that's, you know, because. And I was thinking, well, I wonder what it is about me, because this kind of thing happens frequently enough where people that I don't know will just start talking to me about their favorite thing. And I was thinking as he was talking, you know, I wonder, because he was, you know, he was a nice looking young fellow, and I'm sure that if he wants a girlfriend, he has one. And but maybe she doesn't like listening to sports. That's what I'm guessing, and she'll just tell him, oh, I don't hear that. But I gave him the ear, and there was the thought that went through my mind. It was Alan just saying, well, you never know where somebody's head is that day. In other words, maybe it's just a kind thing to do to sit here and engage with this young man about his sports teams. He told me about, I got it confused as he was telling me the story, but I just looked it up now. I don't think I can remember the fellow's name here. I thought he was an Oklahoma Sooner. But it turns out that this fellow plays for the who is it? San Antonio Spurs, and that's a Texas pro basketball team. I think. And I think I said something stupid about how, you know, it's amazing at that height. He's 7 feet 7 inches tall. And he has all of these amazing things he can do. He's not only great with the rebounds and the, you know, but he's great on defense too. And that was about 7 minutes of how great he was on defense. His name is Victor Wembanyama. Wembanyama, I think. Anyway, a tall fellow who's French, so you can look him up if you're interested. And he actually got his phone out and he wanted to show me how tall Victor Wembanyama is, and how, and then he had some shots there that he could show me how tall Victor Wembanyama was compared to somebody who was 6 foot 6. I mean, it was really actually kind of staggering. And then he showed me a couple of things, videos that he had of him saved of him playing. Anyway, that was that. I remembered then, while I was still in the store listening to him, that Alan said he worked for a while in Toronto, just a normal job. And he said that the thing that all of the fellows liked to talk about was sports. And he had no idea who these teams were, even what kind of teams they were. And he said that a good way to break the ice with his coworkers, he would just say, "How about those Jays?" And then boom, they'd be off. Now, Alan said to me, he said he wasn't really sure who the Jays were. The Jays are the Toronto Blue Jays in their professional baseball. So I don't know. I very much doubt that Alan would have been able to come up with the name of any Canadian hockey team, or I just don't think he could do that. He did not care, antagonistically so. And I think I just, I don't know. I seem to absorb it by accident. So, you know, now when I go into the health food store again, if he's working there, I can go, "How about those Spurs?" But it is, it's, I mean, it's kind of humorous. It's kind of sad because, you know, sports are for much of society, wherever you live. It's the steam valve. It's the way that people, you know, they fight the fight. Alan has even pointed this out in talks. It's like a mock battle, your team against the other team, your side against the other side. And so you get to have all of this, emotions, high emotions worked out in that way. And it also, I mean, just if you think about it, because my brother, he can tell me, and sometimes I will listen to it. Mostly he kind of gets that I'm not really interested, but he'll sometimes rattle off a stat or, what this player did, and that head coach should be fired. And I always think to myself, there's got to be something better you could do with your head and your time and your mind and your interest. But one of the things that crossed my mind in the shed, listening to Alan talk and looking for the DVD of Joyeux Noël, is I guess at the end of the day, we're just all doing the best that we can, whether we know about the reality of the agenda, whether we're conscious to that or not. I think at the end of the day, we're just doing the best that we can. Most of us, some people are just evil. And that I have been listening to Nick Hayes cover in his book club, which I advise. I'm behind on the reading on that one, a little behind, but see, look, I have every intention of getting caught up here on political Ponerology. And it's, I wouldn't say so far, I'm not necessarily agreeing with where evil comes from. It's a very scientific study of the brain and abnormalities in the brain. But the most important thing about that book, or studying about it, or thinking about it at all, is that what we might call evil exists. Why? Why is it here? What does it look like? And what does it look like in other people? But most people, even the family that you don't get along with, or the people that you don't see eye to eye with, are not psychopaths. They're just decent, average people doing the best they can. And so my ambivalence, my little joke with the clerk aside, what I've been thinking about lately is that inspiration that Alan always reached for at this time of the year, and that he gave back to us through his guitar music and through the words, through the fact that he seldom missed a Christmas. There were some that he didn't do something on the day, but for the most part, he spoke to you every Christmas, and that was his Christmas gift. And if he could, he gave you a guitar composition. And he might suggest that you listen to this Russian Orthodox choir. And so I don't know if I'll give you a mixtape or not, but I am going to say here and now, watch Joyeux Noël if you can get a hold of it. It's good. Listen to some music that is different, maybe, than what you usually listen to. Just as I was picking up my little earpiece to put in my head, I must have clicked a button. I think I was telling someone about Bishop Williamson, a recently deceased Catholic that Alan and I listened to a lot of his talks over the years. And he did a good series on modernism and how modernism just messes up your ability to think properly. And that came up. I was thinking of him recently because of the material that I'm going to be covering in with a couple of other members of Book Club next month as we wrap up Waiting for the Miracle. And it also came up again in my thinking this morning, because in the last section on That Hideous Strength, C.S. Lewis writes a funny little riff about modernism and how it messes with your thinking. And so I had dug around online trying to find those. I remembered where Williamson was. He wasn't in front of the whiteboard, and he wasn't in this church, and He was at a specific weird kind of room with glass-fronted windows, and I found it. But it did take me a little bit of digging to find those videos. I'll link to those for you. But why I was saying it is that somehow I must have clicked off that talk and it had gone to some continuously playing Catholic music. It was, Ave Maria all the time. I don't think it literally was Ave Maria, but it was so nice when I picked up the earbud and put it in. I'm like, oh, what's that? I didn't choose anything. And it's that Alan was looking for. What takes you, even if it's just momentarily, out of your routine, out of your whatever it is that we think that is so important that we may not have 15 or 20 minutes to give to the young clerk who wants to talk about his favorite football and basketball team and players and strategy. I told him that he should have his own show. I said, go over to the college university radio station I asked him what he was, if he was studying there, and he said no, he was just embarked on learning HVAC, heating and air conditioning. And we talked. I knew who he was working for because the heating and air guy comes and fixes our heater. And his father fixed our heater. And I'm sure that it was his father who installed the unit. Believe it or not, the unit upstairs unit is, I don't know, 50 some years old. And it was his dad that put it in. And, it's busts up all the time, but what can you expect at 50 years old? Anyway, that's who he's doing his internship, his training with, his apprentice. That's what they call it, apprenticeship with. He said, well, it just takes so much time. You have to, do notes and prepare and then have something to say. And I was thinking to my, I didn't tell him that, that I was, I didn't tell him anything about, I didn't tell him what I was thinking, which is, oh, just start talking, You don't have to prepare, just open your mouth and talk. But I did say something to that effect. I said, well, you seem to really know a lot and you're very enthusiastic about it, and that might just be enough. So I'm telling you one thing for sure. There will not be a real history next week on Christmas Day. I'm going to give myself a day off from real history, but I'm not giving myself a day off from the Alan Watt Christian Christmas message. I will give you something, even if it's just a mixtape. So take care and have a good couple of weeks. But I, like I say, I'm somehow compelled. I am compelled to keep bringing you things, and hopefully with lots of things from Alan. And I may just find a couple of audio clips if I have a moment and tag one of them on the end here of Alan talking to you about maybe you could say other reasons for the season, like just being kind to people. Take care.
You'll hear the Eastern Orthodox guys come in, and these Eastern Orthodox Church or Russian Orthodox, you wouldn't believe what they suffered with utter abject cruelty. I've heard some of the guys talk about what happened to them. It's beyond just torture, and the hatred cannot be expressed to you by those who really hate this thing called Christianity. And remember, the churches there really did cater to the ordinary folk, and they were part of the communities and so on, and it got them through. And there again, then you hear them at the end of the Soviet era, the last year really, singing, and the feeling behind it, what they're singing, is just astonishing. And that's what the whole thing's about, is touching a, something called spirit and soul in you. It doesn't matter what other religions people are into, they can't help but be stunned by it and mesmerized when they hear this kind of singing put out by people who truly believe. And you need that sometimes to get you through life when things aren't going well. And for most folk today, since the whole of our system of civilization is completely under the last vestiges of attack, to be literally a planned, organized, intelligent attack, it's the only thing sometimes that gets them through, and it gives them ability to stand up. That's why it's so terrible. They always want to destroy religion. It makes folk stand together and stand up to tyrants. And that's the last thing that they want when they've got to put the last few of the boots into you, you might say. So for the folk out there who've been listening for years, don't be depressed about things. It's going to be tough and terrible, but as long as you have each other and you truly have a faith, you're going to have a faith that rises above all the baseness of the corrupt and the evil people out there, then it can help you come through terrible times. There's no doubt about it. So I wish everybody a good Merry Christmas when again we see another year of further decay and destruction planned for us all.